So throughout the book, the author Daryl Huff talks a lot about different ways you can lie with statistics, primarily through chapters 1 through 3. He gives a bunch of different examples, like the average salary of a Yale graduate in the 30s, to bias in elections in the 50s. So I wanted to kind of ask you, what was the most, what do you think was the most intriguing part of the first three chapters?
I thought that the most intriguing part of the three chapters may have been the part where they were talking about Yale alumni and how much they earn a year.
Yeah.
Because you're going to such a prestigious school, you would expect everyone to get so much money. But then they're talking about just a percentage of the students. They don't mention the other students that don't report their incomes. So I wonder what happened to those students who didn't report their incomes. And I wonder if they're making a good living and they didn't want to report it, or like, what's the deal with
and
that?
And who even knows if the people who did report them their income are being truthful about how much they make?
They're probably not, because I also, like, in the book, they were also talking about how people lie about their incomes and how much they have to pay. And I feel like everyone does that for pride, because you'll know how much money you're making and you know you'd like to be better. So if you're seeing another alumni who is making more money than you, you would want to be better than them, since you guys went to the same school.
Yeah, and that average was about $25,000 a year, which back then was
a lot of money.
So,
so you mentioned the bias in elections in the 50s.
Yeah, so they talked about the presidential elections in 1948 and 1952, and they kind of related this to giving, like, a second look to things that you read, you know, every day. And it was sort of like allowing yourself to have some degree of skepticism when you read things. So what the author sort of targeted here was these two elections. And there was 10 million telephone and Literary Digest, which was a magazine, their subscribers, who assured that the editors of the magazine, it would be a massive victory for the man running against Roosevelt, Landon, who was running against FDR in 1932. And it basically said that the people who telephoned this in, the subscribers of this magazine, were not like a mixed bag of voters, and they massively favored the person opposing Roosevelt in this election. So it was kind of like saying, with the same thing with the Yale graduates, they were able to just have X amount of people who actually, you know, recorded their name, reported their annual income. Who knows if they were even telling the truth? So it's like the same thing with that. These people, all of them, you know, favored the other presidential candidate, Landon, over Roosevelt, and they only chose them to be in the study, as opposed to, like, voters who were going to choose Roosevelt.
So, something that I really found interesting while I was reading this book was that they were saying that the statistics that they're going to use are from people that have more money or more educated, have more conventional behavior, and then they also have more settled habits than the average other person. So I feel like these statistics are extremely biased, because if you're looking at the average amount of people and their incomes, you're going to think, okay, well, their ideas are completely different than the ones that we have or we want. But then looking at, like, the more educated people, people with the more money, with better conventional behavior habits and things like that, their votes are going to be completely different than the ones of the average person, because they're going to do stuff that are more beneficial to them. They're not going to think of the person who makes the average salary. So I thought that really interesting.
Sort of like a transition in the next chapter, which is called The Well-Chosen Average. There was this house that was for sale in this is just a theoretical example, a house for sale that the author was selling to another person in a neighborhood called the California Valley, and he said that the average income of the neighborhood is $15,000 a year. And as we find out, as we keep reading, that figure is the mean average, or the arithmetic average. So it's all the incomes in the neighborhood added up and then divided by the total number. What the author was trying to say is that's a very deceiving number.
It is.
15,000 does not tell you much about the neighborhood. You may think, well, you know, that's a pretty wealthy neighborhood, but when you look at the median average and it tells you how many of the families in question have more than 3,500 in this neighborhood, it's a lot lower. And you could also use the modal average and found out that there are a lot more families that earn $5,000 a year than anybody else.
Yeah, I thought that interesting too, because if you're going to start selling a house and then you're going to, you know, try to sell it for, you know, a person who's earning $15,000 a year. Mind you, this is in the 1930s, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like you need to have a different type of statistic because you're doing it to benefit them. Everything goes back to somebody making a profit out of whatever they're selling, whatever they're making, or whatever, you know, they need. And they need to... They're lying with statistics.
Yeah,
because...
and I think the most interesting part about that, not to cut you off, but is that they use these statistics that are true, but they deceive you in the way they represent them.
Right.
And again, with the family thing, with the income of the families in that neighborhood, there 15,000 might have been the average because there were a couple people who were earning a lot more than that, but a lot of people were earning like a lot lower. In this, another example that the author used to shows how averages, you know, don't really tell the truth, was this company where the average wage of the employee is $2,000 a year and the average salary and profit of the owners was about $26,000. He chose to show it through this little graph that showed the mean or the median average and the modal average. And what's really interesting about this is that at the top you had somebody earning $45,000 a year. That was one person. And then right below them was somebody earning $15,000. And then two people earned $10,000. And then we hit the mean average, which was $5,700. So there are five individuals above that average, and there are a whole lot more below that. And as we see, we have three people earning $5,000, and then there's four people earning $3,700, and then we hit the median average, which is there are 12 people above him and 12 people below him, and the median was $3,000, and then right below that was the mode, which was 12 people earning $2,000. So the modal average is obviously not something that the owner would want to show, nor would the median. So they would likely show the mean average, which is $5,700.
And just looking at this, it's so unfair because I actually think it's deceiving knowing that there's a company advertising $5,700 when in reality most of the people are making $2,000.
Yeah, like they're saying like this is what you can be making if you come work with us, but in reality you are far more likely to earn $2,000.
Right.